And I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor. Good to see you. Welcome to Eastlake. We say we're a church for everyone because Jesus loves everyone. Doesn't matter what kind of week you had. You might feel like you had a fantastic week. You're on top of the world, or maybe the world's on top of you. Doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. He loves me. He loves everyone. So we're a church for everyone. And we're in this series called Follow because there's an invitation to everyone to follow Jesus because it's not about religion. Life's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And in a relationship is about getting to know someone. We discover someone in a relationship, and it's as we follow that we discover who Jesus is. Today we're going to look at a metaphor, an analogy that Jesus used, and it's a metaphor of a sheep and a shepherd. When he talked about what it was like to have a relationship with him, he would use this analogy of a sheep, that's us, lambs, and a shepherd. And here he is talking right here. Look at the big idea. If I want to know Jesus, you have to follow Jesus. And that's it right there. It's in the journey of the relationship that I come to know him. Let me read something to you. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Many years ago in one of the battles around Jerusalem, there were some soldiers that came in there, and they were going to steal this herd of sheep from these Jerusalem shepherds. And so they got all these sheep and they moved them across this ravine and they're going to steal all these sheep. And when the shepherds woke up, they saw these shoulders driving all their sheep away. They thought, oh, you know, what are they going to do? And then they got an idea, and here it is right here. I'll read it to you. Standing up on his side of the ravine, one of the shepherds, he put his hands to his mouth and gave his own special call, which he used each day to gather his sheep to him. The sheep heard the familiar sound, and for a moment they listened, and then they heard again, and turned and rushed down one side of the ravine and up the other towards the shepherd. It was quite impossible for the soldiers to stop the animals. The shepherd was away with them to a safe place before the soldiers could make up their minds to pursue them, all because these sheep knew their shepherd. And the analogy is that we if we know the shepherd Jesus, that's if we follow him, it's a place that we want to be. It's a place of safety. And so today we're going to take a look at a part of the Bible that really describes it well. It's the 23rd Psalm. And it's an analogy of a shepherd and sheep, but really what it is us and how we follow Jesus. Because if I want to know Jesus, I have to follow Jesus. I can know about him. I can come to church. I can hear people say things. I can even say, well, that's the person that I'm with. But I'm not ever going to know him unless I follow him because it's in a journey of a relationship. I discover the other person in a relationship as we journey together. And it's the same way with Jesus. So let's take a look. It's in your notes here. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Maybe you've heard those famous lines, and you think at first, well, if I have a shepherd and I don't want anything, what's wrong with wanting something? I mean, it's okay to want something in my relationships, want something with my spouse, my family, want something at my job. You know, there's some material thing that I want. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? And there isn't. But a want, an attitude, is an unfulfilled desire. So what it's saying is that when you have a shepherd, he helps you pursue your desires because you can want something for a long time and never pursue it. And then you get an attitude and you get moody and in a bad mood because you know what you want and you want it really, really bad. I want a great relationship. I want someone that treats me right, but he didn't do it, so I moved on to the next one. And it's like the desire never goes away, but it's never fulfilled. And the scripture says that an unfulfilled desire, the Bible does, makes the heart sick. And so you get sicker and sicker on the inside. And pretty soon you have this attitude and you blame other people for what you don't have. And it's all because I'm not pursuing my desire. And when you have a shepherd, now here's what it's saying here. When you have a shepherd, that's the person that helps me get traction to pursue what it is I want to have. Let me ask a question. What is it you want in your life and you're not getting it? And you're not getting it because you're not trying. And maybe you're not trying because you tried before and you failed. Or maybe you saw someone else try and you saw them fail. Or maybe you feel disqualified because of something that happened in your past and you feel like, no, I don't ever deserve to have that again, but I still want it. And then the attitude emerges. Or maybe someone told you at some point in your life, you're never going to get that. Check this out. Watch this.
Chasing a stupid dream causes nothing but you and everyone around you heartache. Notre Dame is for rich kids, smart kids, great athletes. It's not for us. You're a Rudiger. There's nothing in the world wrong with being a Rudiger. You can have a damn nice life. Frank is going to take over plan number two. In a couple of years, he'll make more than me and Johnny. You know he's in charge of the expansion program.
I don't want to be Frank.
That you want to see happen in your life, but now it's just turned into an attitude because you're not pursuing it. And what this psalm is about is that if we have a shepherd, if we're following Jesus, he will lead us to our desires. You're not disqualified. It's nothing that you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what someone has said if you have a shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And a peculiar thing about sheep, when I was a kid, we lived out in the country, so we had chickens and dogs and cats and all kinds of things. And one year, we bought a little lamb that we were going to raise. And so out in the corner of our property, we built a lamb's pen and, you know, sort of got some pasture out there and a little shelter for the lamb. And they told us that these little sheep, as they grew up, were not only really stubborn, but they would get very set in their ways. And the thing about the sheep is that they were always on guard and they never could relax and they needed interaction with people and they were sort of high maintenance. And the one thing about sheep and the reason it says you have to make them lie down is it's very difficult to get a sheep, a little lamb, to lie down and relax, to feel safe. In fact, there's four things that are requirements. If you're ever going to get, it has to be these things. Number one, they have to be free from fear. Because they're always on alert. They're always watching something. Even where I grew up, where they'd have sheep, if just a jackrabbit came bouncing through the herd, they would take off. It wasn't even anything that could hurt them. But since they were always anxious inside. My sister went through a time where she had anxiety all the time, and she'd get these attacks in the middle of the night, and she'd actually wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, and her chest would just be pounding and pounding and aching, and she'd be just filled with anxiety, and she couldn't figure out what it was, but at some layer in her life, there was something that was causing all this fear. And that's how these little lambs live all the time. They're always scared, always scared, always scared, so they never, ever feel safe. And if they're going to be able to feel safe, they have to have a shepherd there. The other thing about these guys is they have these pecking orders in these sheep flocks, and so there's always this friction. And these lambs will never feel safe. They're never able to relax if there's friction. And here's the analogy for our lives. You know, when there's friction with our spouse, friction with our kids, friction with our in-laws, friction with the people we work with, if there's a lot of friction in our lives, it's impossible to feel safe. You can't relax. There's just so much going on. So the question is, who do you have friction with right now? And it's in your mind all the time. Wherever you go, it's just there. It's like things are not resolved. And sheep also get annoyed really easy, and they get very, very frustrated, and they're always annoyed. And because they are, they can't feel safe, and they never relax. And then lastly, they're always on the lookout for food. So they're always wondering, who's going to provide for me? Who's going to provide me? Am I going to have enough? How am I going to pay my bills? Am I going to be able to take care of my responsibilities? Will I be able to hang on to this job? Are they going to lay me off? Am I always going to be making $12 an hour? How will I ever have a family? Those type of things that we all go through. And what it's saying here is that the shepherd is the only one that can get them to feel safe. And listen, now this is important. Those things never go away in life. You have to have something bigger than those things. And for sheep, it's the shepherd. There's still lots of things around that could hurt them. There's all kinds of annoyances. Ever tried to call Comcast and get a real person, you know, on hold for 2 hours? And then there'll always be those things. There'll always be bills. There'll always be the possible of layoffs. There'll always be, how am I going to go back to school when I already have a child? There'll always be those things. The question is, will you have someone bigger to look to? Is there going to be someone in my life that can make me feel safe even if my circumstances don't change? See, that's the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't make everything go away. And when you follow Jesus, you'll start to follow Jesus and you'll maybe at some point wonder, well, how come everything isn't just perfect and like Disneyland and everything's just great? Because that's not the role of the shepherd. But the shepherd is larger and bigger and can be larger than your circumstances. He can cause you to feel safe when it's not safe. He can make you lie down in green pastures by still waters. Let's keep reading. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he restores my soul. There's an interesting thing that happens to sheep. I never saw it with our little lamb, but it happens quite a bit. It's called cast. I brought a picture for you. It's probably going to look ridiculous, but check out this up on the screen. This is what happens to sheep sometimes. And it's pretty common. They just like totally get upside down. I know it's kind of obscene, but just that's how it looks. So anyways, and what happens is they get turned upside down, and they're like a turtle when they get like that. They can't get right side up. They can't get back up on their feet. You think, well, how does that happen to one of these animals? And here's how it happens. There's a couple different ways. One is sheep, they get where they can lie down in a shady little place, and there'll be a little knoll there where it's very, very comfortable, and they just get off balance just for a second, and they roll over onto their back. And I don't know if you've ever been in that spot where you say, oh, I'm just going to take a little break and get comfortable. I'm just going to take a little rest. And the next thing you know, your world's upside down. Here's the bigger one, though, and this is what happens a lot, is they get, if they're not cared for, they get real heavy with wool. And it grows unevenly. And then what happens, they get all kinds of stuff stuck up in their wool. They get, you know, dirt and sticks and crap all up in there. And they get real heavy because they, pardon my French, but they get real heavy. They got all this stuff up in there. And then what happens is they'll be walking along and they'll just get off balance for a second. And there's too much weight on one side and whoosh, there they are. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, man, you know, I understand what it's like to have a lot of stuff in my life that needs to be cleaned up. And it does sometimes feel like my life is upside down. And I don't mean day after day after day, although I've been there. Do you know that they can be like this for days and days and days and days? Just feet flailing around. They'll even die unless a shepherd comes. And I've been there day after day after day after day after day after day. I'm upside down. How do I get back on my feet? How am I get back? Or I can just have one day. And it can happen very quickly. The next thing you know, oh, my feet are up in there. And I'm upside down. And the way that prevents it is to be cleaned up. And there's lots of things that need to be cleaned up for. Now, the problem, sometimes many of us grew up in some kind of a church or we grew up in some kind of a family or something that they said this, you have to get yourself cleaned up before you can approach Jesus, which is just the opposite of his message. His message is come to me and let me clean you up. But if you feel like you're going to approach Jesus and the first thing he's going to say is, those are some really bad choices you've been making. I mean, you know what? They told you not to do that. Look what you've got yourself into now. This is so embarrassing for the family. If you dread that, you worry about that, you're not going to approach him. And then what you'll do is you'll try to clean yourself up and it won't happen. And the next thing you know, you'll be on your back and your world will be upside down. You know, we started this church for a simple message. You can come to Jesus. Everybody can approach him and be cleaned up. So whatever's going on. So just think in your mind. In your mind's eye, what do you need to be cleaned up from? Maybe it happened a long time ago. It just will not go away. And from time to time, it makes your world upside down. Not all the time. But if something maybe happened long ago and it's never gotten cleaned up and you're just fine. Then maybe something happens or you hear something and all of a sudden it just flips you upside down. You can't get back up. Today is your day if you'll follow the shepherd, Jesus. What is it? You know how you know as it pops into your mind, you're like, oh, no. I don't want to think about this at church. Best place to. You're accepted here. And if you find yourself in a cast position, he'll turn you around and get you back on your feet. and then clean you up. That's the process. He doesn't come up to us when we're laying on our back and our world's upside down. So, okay, listen, man, we got to do some real cleaning here, so sit still. The first thing he does, in fact, there's stories of shepherds that they'll gently turn the sheep up on their feet again, and they have to spend hours massaging the sheep's legs because all the blood has flown out of it and they're just jacked up, they can't even walk. And the first thing they do is just start reviving them. And then they clean. And listen, some of you need to be revived in some area of your life way before you'll have to be clean. And you've wondered, would Jesus really treat me that way? Give him a chance. Man, if we have one message here, give Jesus a chance to show you. Here's what it says here. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And these paths of righteousness, and sheep are notorious for doing the same thing over and over, and so am I, over and over again, over and over again, over and over. They never will change their ways. And this is an interesting thing, just right in the margin of your notes. I have noticed that pain is no guarantee that I'll change anything. You know, we had this little lamb when I grew up, and it was back out in the pen, and they told us that, you know, you had to really keep a watch on it. I lived up in the high altitude, way out in the country. And the storm blew in right in the middle of the summer. But where I lived, it could still be pretty cold. And the storm came in and it blew in, you know, rain clouds, and just started raining. And here's this little lamb about 3 feet away from its shelter, just sort of sitting there, not moving. And I remember, like, watching it going, what the heck, you know? Its shelter is, like, 3 feet away. Well, here was the problem. It had never seen the rain before. It had never dealt with it before. All it had ever known is, like, in the morning, start eating and stand in the middle of your pen. And over again, even though it got wetter and wetter and wetter and colder and colder and colder, it would not change the way it lived. Here's the point. Pain is no guarantee that I'll change anything. We've all seen broken homes. We've all seen broken hearts, and we've all seen people and ourselves do the exact same thing again. You know why? Because pain is no guarantee that I'll change anything. And so I have to be led in paths of righteousness. We actually had to go out and get the little lamb and move it 3 feet into the shelter and dry it off, or it would have died. Now let me ask you a question. What are you doing over and over again? And you've heard the old cliche, the definition of insanity is do the same thing and think you'll get a different result. And you've heard that, you could quote that, you understand it, but it's not working. But the shepherd will lead you in a different... And righteousness sounds like a big church word, religious word. It's not. Righteous means a better way, a right way. And sometimes I have to be led because I've been in lots and lots of pain and I've had consequences and it didn't change anything for me. I need a shepherd to follow. How about you? So lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Keep going. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Walk through the valleys. Now this psalm was written by King David. Now, King David would have identified with this psalm. He's the famous one that killed the giant, the big king. But the reason he would like understand this so well is that when he was young, he was a shepherd. So he had sheep. Way before he had the slingshot, he had sheep. And David was a shepherd person. So he would have remembered, when he was writing this, he would have remembered what it was like to go on the long walks through the valley to get the sheep to the higher ground. See, as soon as spring comes, they take all the sheep and they start leading them through the valleys into the higher ground because the best nutrition, the best green grass is in the higher ground, but you have to go through the valleys to get there. And here's the problem with sheep. They're very content to just live in the valleys. I mean, they have no idea that there's way better green grass up higher in the mountains. Of course, it takes a little work to get there. Don't you wish you could just be airlifted to a higher place in your relationships? Just be airlifted. You don't have to walk through the valleys, chase these sheep all over the place. When I got married to Clarice, I didn't know I was going to have to talk. I didn't have any idea that was part of it. I mean, you know, I, like a lot of guys, I mean, I talked a lot before we, you know, got engaged and got married. But once we got married, I thought you just did that talking so you could get married. I didn't realize once we got talked that, you know, and my wife likes to sit and talk and talk and talk with me, which I don't understand because I don't find myself that interesting. But she just loves to talk with me. And I thought when we got married, the whole goal was to just get married and hang out with each other and, you know, try to have lots of sex and stuff. I mean, that was my idea of marriage. I mean, you know, and then I get married and I find out if I want to go to higher ground, I have to talk. And I find out if I want to go to higher ground, I have to learn to resolve conflicts. And if I want to go to higher ground, I have to figure out how we're going to spend our money. I always thought it was my money. And then when your money came in, it was still my money. I didn't realize to get to a higher place in my relationships that I had to walk there with my wife. Man, I teared up this week at work. I saw something that I think anybody would have. A man and a woman came in where I work at. They had to sell their car. And when they approached where we were, they approached the offices. They had a little girl with her, with the mom, and the guy was there. And as they walked up, the little girl was just crying and really that kind of cry, you knew something was just wrong. And I didn't know for sure. I thought, wow, that looks like a really, like, I don't want to go shopping cry. It's way past that. Just crying. And it turns out that they were coming that day to sell the family car because they were divorcing. And they brought the little girl with them. And some other woman was there with the guy, too, which was really odd. And so here they come. They all come in to the place where we are, and the little girl's crying, and they've come to sell the family car because they're getting divorced. And they start to fight with each other, this man and this woman. And pretty soon it's a pretty good fight, a pretty good verbal fight, and it's in front of everybody. Even as they move from one building to the next, they're fighting outside as they go along the way. And when they came into the building, they were quarreling and fighting and so hurt and broken, and the things they were saying to each other were so painful and embarrassing that the little girl got up and climbed underneath a desk and hid from everyone. I saw her balled up in the corner, hiding. And that's when I lost it. And as I watched him, it wasn't with judgment, it was the recognition of pain. I looked at the dude and I could just see the pain of, like, how did we get here and this thing is a mess and I'm just going to start over, but I hate the type of person I am. And you could see the rejection in that woman. And I looked at them and I honestly thought this, because I've been married almost 30 years, I really thought this. The first thing I thought, they never had anybody to show them how to get to higher ground. I'm not any better than them. I'll play my cards up front. I would have lived in the valley the entire time. I wouldn't have washed my clothes. I wore my underwear for 6 weeks straight. I wouldn't have ate the same old diet. I wouldn't have ever talked to my wife. I would have been just like every other jamoke. But I had a shepherd. And the shepherd has been leading me to higher ground. He does not lead me in the valleys. He takes me up higher in my relationship with my wife and with people and with him. Now, where are you settling for the valleys in your life? It doesn't feel that bad. There's something to eat there. But it's not the higher ground. And the way you get to the higher ground is to follow. Because remember, if I want to know Jesus, I have to follow Jesus. And one of the ways to get there is we got these Bibles that you can grab on your way out just to get to know them, to read those. They're all free. And we put these little journals together. These are free, just a chapter a day. I timed it this week. It takes 10 minutes to read these. We just have these little things that you can read one chapter and do a little journaling in it, because it's a way of getting to know. It's a way of getting to someplace higher, higher ground. And it says the rod and the staff, they comfort. And, you know, the shepherds would have, you've seen them, those big high rods, they'd walk along with them. They were like sticks, and they'd walk along like this, and they'd have them, and all the, you know, they'd have these staffs. And what the staffs were used for was to sort of guide the sheep. Two things. One, they'd hold it high so all the sheep could see it. And then secondly, they'd use it to sort of guide the sheep. Oh, you're getting a little too far over there. And they'd sort of guide them. And do you know what? When you're comforted, so get this. Write this in the margin of your notes. If Jesus corrects me, it's a form of caring. If you're corrected by the shepherd, it means he cares about you. And that's what it's saying. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because when I'm corrected by Jesus, it comforts me because I know he cares. Now, when you're not corrected, when there's no boundaries in your life, it doesn't set you free. I don't know if you ever heard the story about the experiment they did in the Midwest in this grade school. And they got together and said, it's not right that we have these fences and these boundaries and these walls in our school. These kids need to be set free. So they took down all the perimeter fences and all the low fences that separated the different playground stuff, and they broke down all the walls, and there was just this school sitting in the middle of this huge grassy field with this asphalt. And then they rang the bell and they told the kids, now you're free. And do you know the kids? They slowly walked out onto the playground. And they all huddled in the center of it. And day after day at recess and at lunchtime, they wouldn't venture from one another. They wouldn't even move out to the outskirts because they were afraid. They weren't free. See, boundaries, that's what sets me free. And when I don't have them, I'm afraid. We need correction. I grew up in a home where there was hardly no correction. And you know my story. There's a lot of drugs and alcohol in my home, and there was not hardly any correction. And then when I got to be a teenager, there was no correction. I could be gone days and days at a time in high school, and nobody cared or thought about where I was. They never asked when I came in. They never asked when I left. Nobody looked after how I ate or how my clothes got ready for school or what was going on. That just was the family I lived in. And I felt very uncared for when I would be with the rest of the guys and they would all be afraid after a night of partying to go home that they were going to get caught and get some consequences, and I wasn't. And I felt very uncared for because there was no one to correct me. And so when it says in this part of the psalm, when he writes and says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, he said, it's so comforting to know that someone will correct me. Someone will tell me, don't go that way. Someone will say, not that person. Someone will say, don't say that. Someone will say, please, go to this person. Avoid it. All the times that the staff comes up. And they walk with this staff real high, and it's high up in the air, and they go in front. In Jerusalem, Israel, they're the shepherds in the world that don't move their sheep from the back. They walk in front of them, and they kind of walk sideways, and they look, and they're watching all the time, and they watch them because they've trained the sheep to follow. So there's some American tourists in Israel. They're outside Jerusalem, and they've just been told this by the tour guide. We have remarkable shepherds. They're different than any in the world. The sheep follow them because the sheep know the shepherds love them, and they're always out in front. And then all of a sudden, there's this huge flock, this huge herd of sheep come all around the bus and stop it, and there's sheep everywhere, and people are watching this thing, and there's these men in the back, and they have their staffs, and they're swinging them at the sheep, and they're kicking, and they're pushing the sheep with this thing, and they're driving these sheep, trying to get them off the road. And someone raises his hand and says, what the heck, man? You just told us that the shepherds lead in front, and they're nice and kind. Well, what's going on here? And the tour guide gets the microphone and says, oh, no, 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 no. Those aren't shepherds. Those are butchers. And there is a difference. Who are you following? What if it's a butcher? Not a shepherd. What if they're just leading you away to be butchered, driving your life? I've got to be skinnier. I've got to be putter. I've got to get more money. I've got to climb up the ladder faster. And it's just a butcher. That's all. Well, let's keep reading here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Interesting thing about sheep, they'll eat anything. And they won't always do what's best for themselves. They won't always do what's good for themselves. So they need someone to prepare the way, because they'll eat any kind of crap. They'll eat sharp, jagged stuff, and they'll hurt themselves. And I have found I can be that way too. I'll do anything. I'll try anything. But if I have a shepherd, he prepares the table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. They make this oil that they smear on the sheep's faces. The enemy of sheep is the fly, the little fly. And this is kind of the gross part of the sermon, but just hear this. So the little fly, they're all over the sheep all the time. And, you know, sheep have these big noses with big nostrils. And what happens is these flies, these little annoyances, these frustrations, these irritations, these flies, they're always hanging around the sheep. And so the shepherds will put sulfur and tar and linseed oil, and they'll make this kind of a oily paste, and they put it all over the face of the sheep because it keeps the flies away. Because if the flies land and lay their eggs right under their nostril where it's moist, the larvae hatch, and they climb back up into their nose. And they drive the sheep crazy. And can you feel it? Some larvae was just climbing up in your nose right now. Come on with me, word picture. Can you feel it? Flies ruin everything, don't they? Isn't it amazing? You have a huge, big barbecue, backyard party. It's going to be awesome. And the flies show up and ruin everything. The little irritations in life. The bill you didn't expect. The kids will not clean their room again. It's like you're driving. What's that noise I hear in the car? I just got this repaired last week. Just the little irritations that build up, the flies in life that can ruin life. And here's why. Because enough irritations piled up, then it puts me in a bad mood and a bad attitude. And now when the important things in life come, I'm not ready for it. And this word anointing means to be chosen. It means Jesus knows how to choose just the right thing to deal with the flies. And the flies keep coming, folks. They never go away. I've discovered in my house, for some reason, the flies love the inside. Why don't they stay outside where they belong? Why do they want to be in my house? But they ruin things. What's it ruining in your life? And you're not protected from them. You might not ever think of it. Don't believe that old story. Don't sweat the small stuff. The small stuff will take you out. You have to be protected from the small stuff. Once that larva hatches and gets up into the brains of those sheep, it can kill off an entire herd. Little tiny flies ruin things. You have to be protected. And the shepherd does. Now here's the last part of it right here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here's the question. What's following me around in my life? After a day of work, what do I leave behind? After I've had an event with my family, what do I leave behind? After I come home from the gym, what do I leave behind? So here's the great thing about this Psalm 23. Here's what it's saying. Listen now, catch this. When I followed the shepherd, what follows me is goodness and mercy. When I follow Jesus, what I leave behind in my relationships is goodness. I've known leaders that are fantastic, and they really are very, very gifted, and they're church leaders, and they're off the charts, and they just do really, really great. But what they leave in their wake is broken hearts and broken lives and people that are mad and hurt, and it's like what follows them around is not good. And they may create an awesome thing in business or in the church, but in their wake, what's following you? What do you think people say when you leave? See, here's the neat thing about this psalm. When I'm following Jesus, what will follow me is goodness. Listen, if you'll follow Jesus your whole life as a parent, your kids will never say that you were perfect. But some, they'll say this about you someday. My parents were good people. And they were good to me. And that's as good as it gets if you follow the shepherd. Now, two things we learn, and let's look at it. Number one, the Lord is my provider. So listen now, you can get stuck in the attitude of want and you can blame everybody else and it's an attitude and you want it, it's an unfulfilled desire. But if you have a shepherd, a coach, a trainer, a tutor, a teacher that leads you towards your desires, what is it you desire in your life and it's not happening because you're not trying to get it and you have your reasons? But now you're just stuck in an attitude. But if you have a shepherd, he will provide. And he won't leave you down in the valleys. He'll take you to the higher ground. And the second thing is I have a protector. Even protecting us from the flies, the annoyances of life. Here's the thing with religion and why it never works. It always talks about the big, 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 big stuff, the eternal stuff. Where are we going to heaven? What planet? Well, how are we going to live? All that stuff. And here's the thing. I need help with the flies. I need help with the bill that didn't, you know, I need help with the child that won't mind. I need help with the customer service that's driving me crazy. Just the flies of life, man. I need a shepherd to protect me. Would you let him anoint you? Choose you? Just put the perfect thing in place so the flies can't hurt you? Because if you don't have a shepherd, here's maybe what it would sound like. If you didn't have a shepherd, maybe it sounds like this. Listen to, here's a rewrite. The world is my shepherd. I'm never satisfied. I always want. The world makes me lie down in dead pastures. It leads me beside rough waters. It wrecks my soul. It leads me on wrong paths for the sake of no one. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am afraid because I feel alone. The world does not prepare a way for me, so my enemies defeat me. The world anoints my head with confusion. My cup is broken. Surely pain and sorrow shall follow me all the days of my life, and I don't know if I will ever dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the other side. But not for us. Because Jesus is our shepherd. And the way you get to know him is to follow him. It's the bottom line. Jesus knows me and I can know him.